Heart's 1,000,052nd birthday, tune into a higher frequency. You are now experiencing 24 hours of radio art on CITR 101.9 FM. Stay tuned for more curated radio art from around the world.
January 17th is Art's birthday. To commemorate this momentous occasion, CITR will be transmitting 24 hours of radio art. Put on your art party hat and celebrate with artists all over the world by tuning into 101.9 FM in Vancouver or CITR.ca. Audio experimentation and sonic subversion, 24 hours of radio art, January 17th on CITR.
There's nothing good about winter. The days are shorter, the sun isn't as sunny, and it's freaking cold.
Yeah, but there's also the annual winter issue of Disorder. Pick up your copy of Disorder, that magazine that's salty enough to melt the iciest of seasonal affective disorders from CITR, at one of our over 100 distribution locations. To share some fireside cheer with Kathleen Hepburn, a local independent director, enjoy a cup of metaphorical cocoa with BB over their first full album release, make some non-denominational sugar cookies at Chinatown's Pollyanna Library with Jonathan Q, take a sleigh ride through CITR's seasonal special listening guide, and of course, enjoy reviews of local shows and new releases. And an extra special holiday shout-out to our advertisers, Tambor Concerts, the Rickshaw Theater, the Rio Theater, the Cinematheque, and Mint Records.
I guess winter's not that bad.
Furtado.
No digo nada.
Hi, this is Barry Williams. I'm Greg on Paramount Television's The Brady Bunch. All six of us Brady kids,
Maureen McCormick,
Christopher Knight,
Eve Plum,
Mike Lookinland,
Susan Olson,
and me, Barry Williams, have put it all together. We're now the Brady Bunch singing group. We got a sound we hope you'll like. We're sending you the special advanced copy, and we hope you'll enjoy it. Ready, gang?
Satan! Satan! Satan!
This is John M. Bennett, and you are listening to 24 Hours of Radio Art on UBC Radio, CITR FM 101.9.
Yeah, it's 10%, but do you want the 2%?
Yeah, it has to be.
I was born in 1919.
You're 99 almost.
Yeah, in April.
In April. And I just turned 29. And I wonder if you were me, if you were 29 now, what would you do with your life in, you know, 2017, 2018 that you couldn't have done when you were growing up in your 20s?
Many, many, many things. Many things. You're asking me what I would be doing if I was 29. Well, I wouldn't be married. I know that. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be. I don't know whether I would ever have married if I had it to do again. I loved my children very much, but I was trapped. That's the way I felt about it. I was trapped and with my children. But I never felt free. I never felt that what I wanted to do, I could do. But I think most women of my generation felt the same way. We were not people, we were mothers. And some of us kept a clean house and some of us didn't. And that didn't seem to matter.
A few months ago, over lunch, I asked my grandma if she had read The Feminine Mystique, the Bible of second wave feminism. When it was published in 1957, my grandma would have been 38 years old, living as a housekeeper with 5 kids. As she says, trapped. She said she had read it. She said something like, it had made sense to her, but she didn't necessarily see how it could be put to use. She had 5 children and she couldn't leave them, so she stayed. Trapped. Last time I talked to you, you said that you met Grandpa at a party mm-hmm. in Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering what it was about him that you liked and, you know, what, how long you guys dated before you got married.
I think we knew another about 2 years, I think, before we got married. Yeah. I don't know what it was. I guess he was the new man on the block. You know, and he seemed to have an interest in me, and I'd never really had a boyfriend before, and he was living at a boarding house, and I kind of think he latched onto me because I had a family and it was some place to go, you know. It was different in those days. It was depression, and there was not a lot of dating went on, a lot of house parties, because people couldn't afford anything different. Half of them, I mean, he was working, he had a job, which was a big thing.
And what was Grandpa like? And obviously you knew him for a long time, over a long period of time, but what... because I only knew him as a child, and I don't really have a good sense of his personality as a whole. What was Grandpa like?
Well, I don't know how I did describe Grandpa. He was a company man, which a lot of the men were in those days, because you worked for a company all your life. So your home life came second, always. When Patty was born, he was down on a business trip in Houston. Grandpa went to work, and he was a very good worker, and he did very, very well in business. But I was the one that had the family. He was not, he was really not a family man. He was not that close to his children. Bob was the one that brought the children up with me. And he was very responsible at work. But his responsibilities at home were transferred to me. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. In one sense, I'm wondering, between you and him, what kind of friendship did you have as well? Like, what was it about one another that you connected with? You know, did you joke a lot, or were you...
Grandpa was one person outside of the house, very charming, very, could be very charming, and in the house he was entirely different, and his work, I was expected, it's difficult to put this, I was expected to be very charming and supportive whenever I met any of the executives. But he was a different person at home entirely. He was not a family man, actually. That says it. He was a businessman and... that's where his interests and his responsibilities were.
It seems pretty clear that she didn't love him, my grandpa, Emmett Burns. It seems like I wouldn't have loved him either if I were her. I asked my mom, though, after we did this interview, do you think Grandma ever loved Grandpa? She said once in her youth, she had asked Grandma with earnestness, what does love feel like? And my grandma said, it's when you always want to be around someone. I think about the Fleetwood Mac song Everywhere. My mom thinks Grandma probably did love him at one time. Yeah, that's from Ricky's, right? Is that the one my mom gave you? Yeah.
It's just perfect for here, isn't it?
The colors match the room well.
And the frame, everything about it is just perfect. I often come in here and just sit and look at it.
Did
those two little figures there... Mm-hmm. My sister-in-law, Evan's brother's wife, was paralyzed when she was 16, all one side of her. Oh. And she painted those little figures, and they're so tiny little bits. They've been broken and glued quite a few times.
What are
they? She had 8 children. Put the diaper pins, no Velcro, in with her teeth, her mouth. And she had a 2-story house she had to with 8 kids. And she wrapped the child around her and went up and down the stairs with her back against the wall.
Wow.
The girl was a living saint, you know.
Seriously.
And her husband was a useless tool. Never saw him lift his hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Emma, you know, Grandma used to say, that's a woman's work. I remember being at their place on a holiday, and the boys were at the back of the breakfast nook, And, I was at the back of Breakfast Nook, and one of them had to go to the bathroom, and I said to Dad, Bob or Bill, whichever one has to go to use the washroom, Dad, you take him.
That is woman's work!
You'd have loved her.
It sounds like I would have loved her, yeah. Thinking of moments like that in your life, would you call yourself a feminist, or what do you think of that word?
Well, feminism is great, but then there's extremes, you see. Some women are so feministic, they don't give the man a chance. I don't see feminists, I see equality.
But feminism means equality.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. To me, feminist means the men are down here and the women are up. Mind you, that's the way it should be. But, I think equality is a much better word. Whether we'll ever get to it, I don't know.
It's hard to imagine my grandma not identifying as a feminist. It's known in my family that grandma doesn't like boys as much as girls. She's outwardly disappointed about giving birth to 4 sons in a row. When my mom, her 5th child, was born, the nurses said to my grandma, Mrs. Burns, you have a daughter. And my grandma said, with bitter disbelief, show me. Grandma watched my great aunt, half paralyzed, raise 8 children without assistance from her husband. It disturbs me, and also her. I think the discrepancy in our view of gender equality comes down to language. The word feminist is too angry, too demanding, too impatient. My grandma, a devout Catholic, is angry, but at the same time waits patiently for change to come.
Yeah, I'm for a lot of changes, but my life is pretty well over, and perhaps that's why I see the need for changes, because I've lived through a lot of generations now.
Would you want me to get the phone?
Yes,
in the bookcase.
Call from A to Middle.
There you go.
Thank you.
No worries.
Call from A to Middle.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Grandma is for change, but also helpless to its pacing.